from Jakarta. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in English program. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia presents news, actual information, as well as entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our broadcast via shortwave on 9525 kilohertz. You can listen to our program at www.voinews.id. RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.
Hey listener, welcome back to our English program over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we will bring you first our news, followed by My Indonesia, Today in History, Highlight of the Week, News in Brief, Indonesian Wonder, Miss Lady, and Listener's Mailbag. That was our program summary for today over RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Stand by now for the news.
RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first headlines. Presidential and vice presidential candidates Joko Widodo and Maruf Amin undergo health checks. Bank Indonesia to keep current account deficit below 3%. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. I'm Dalat Pane. Chairman of the Indonesian Doctors Association Executive Board, Professor Dr. Ilham Utama Marsis, sat on Sunday at the Army Center Hospital Gatot Subroto, the prospective candidates for President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia who have registered with the General Election Commission underwent health examinations. Ilham Utama Marsis said the examinations is based on Law number 7 of 2017 considering general elections.
Hari ini dilakukan pemeriksaan terhadap pasangan bakal calon presiden dan wakil presiden Bapak Joko Widodo.
Today the health examination for the pair of presidential and vice presidential candidates Joko Widodo and Maruf Amin is undergone based on the introduction of the Indonesian General Election Commission KPU. This health assessment is based on Law number 7 of 2017 concerning general elections, which is further regulated by the KPU's Regulation number 22 of 2018 regarding the nomination of the presidential and vice presidential elections participants. In the General Election Commission Regulation, the KPU coordinates with the Indonesian Doctors Association to prepare technical guidelines for evaluating the spiritual and physical abilities of the presidential and vice presidential candidates determined by the KPU's decision and obtain recommendations from government hospitals that is used as a place for their health checks. Ilham Utama Marsis further emphasized that the inspection team was a joint team between Indonesian Doctors Association, IDI, and Army Central Hospital Gatot Subroto. The team consisted of specialist doctors, specialist dentists, and others. He said that there were many requirements to be a team of examiners, including not a private doctor of the candidate, not a member of the party, and get a letter of assignment from the association of his specialists. While the length of the examination will take between 9 to 12 hours, interspersed with breaks. Political observer Yandi Hermawandi of the Majid Politikam Research Institution has predicted that the 2019 presidential election will take place more peacefully than the one in 2014. He said the prediction is based on the composition of the vice presidential candidates of the two camps with that will compete in the five-yearly presidential race. Incumbent President Joko Widodo has chosen Muslim cleric Maruf Amin, chairman of the Indonesian Ulama Council MUI, as his running mate in his bid for re-election in the next presidential election. In the other camp, Prabowo Subianto, who will challenge Jokowi, has appointed Jakarta Deputy Governor, who is also a businessman, Sandiaga Uno, as his vice presidential candidate. He said Muslim scholar Maruf Amin, who is the chairman of MUI, is a factor, which could cool down the heating off of conditions because the people respect Hulama. In addition, he said Prabowo's choice not to choose a cleric as his first presidential candidate also supported the absence of divisions in the Islamic community. According to Hermawandi, the debate over the differences in Islamic practices that have so far existed will be increasingly sharp. This is because, so far, this problem continues to exist if it is taken to the political stage. The United States government is keen to work with Indonesia to fully resolve the trade dispute between the two countries, which had been arbitrated by the World Trade Organization, WTO, since 2014. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia, Joseph Donovan, noted. Donovan said on Friday, U.S. recognized that Indonesia has mandated certain regulation and is taking positive steps for the resolution of the dispute. Thus, U.S. remain committed to working with Indonesia to fully resolve the issues. Indonesia has agreed to revise its import regulations again, following a complaint lodged by the U.S. with the WTO on August 2nd, when actually it had completed the due date on July 22, 2018. The United States has urged WTO to let it impose sanctions on Indonesia after it won a trade dispute that cost U.S. businesses up to $350 million in 2017, a U.S. filing published by the WTO showed on August 6. The United States and New Zealand had both filed the dispute in 2014 and both won the WTO rulings last year against Indonesian import restrictions on food, plants, and animal products, including apples, grapes, potatoes, onions, flowers, juice, dried fruit, cattle, chicken, and beef. Based on the agreement among three countries, a reasonable period of time was applied for Indonesia to revise its import policies with a due date on July 22, 2018. In general, the process of trade dispute settlement in the WTO might take 4 to 5 years, as the dispute settlement body receives a huge number of complaints from the WTO's member states. Bank Indonesia said it is confident it would be able to keep the country's current account deficit below 3% by the end of this year. Executive Director of Statistics Department of the Central Bank, Yati Kurniati, told reporters on Friday that by the end of the first half of the year, the current account deficit already reached 2.6% of the country's gross domestic product GDP. Yati said Bank Indonesia would continue to cooperate with the government to keep the current account deficit more under control. Among the efforts is to draw more foreign tourists by developing the tourism sector potential to contribute to foreign exchange income in short term. Bank Indonesia appreciates the government creating an integrated service system to attract investments, mainly export and import substitute-based investment, in a bid to cut current account deficit. In addition, Bank Indonesia will continue to strengthen the policy mix to maintain stability amid uncertainties in the global financial market and policy coordination with the government to push for continuation of structural reform. Bank Indonesia will continue to watch the global developments that could affect the prospect of the country's balance of payments, such as the high global financial uncertainty, the inclination of protectionism in international trade, and oil price hikes. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia under 16 national team successfully wins the U16 AFF Cup after going through a 5-4 final contest when facing Thailand at Gelora Delta Sidoarjo Stadium East Java Saturday night. For this result, Indonesia U16 national team coach Fakhri Husaini is very grateful. I'm proud of what the players show. Not only Nando, but all the players who play and who don't play. 23 players have a major contribution to this achievement. Regarding Nando, it is indeed the duty of the goalkeeper. He carried out the task very well. His mentality is also very ready. The technique is also pretty good. Our preparations anticipating a penalty kick brings benefit, because this is the result of training. not only to Nando, but also to the executors, our four players, were all able to score. In addition, Fakhri also appreciated the overwhelming support from the supporters of the stadium. According to Fakhri, the supporters are important in giving encouragement to the players. A Pilatus Porter aircraft with flight code PKHVQ reportedly lost contact on Saturday afternoon during a flight from Tanah Merah to Oksibil area in Pegunungan Bintang District, Papua Province. Chief of Pegunungan Bintang Police Persing, Anjun Senior Commanders Michael told Antara that the plane with seven passengers on board took off from Tanah Merah at around 1:42 p.m. Eastern Indonesia Standard Time. The aircraft belonging to Dimonim Air was piloted by Leslie Sefufe with co-pilot Wayan Sugiarta. The VHE-75 type aircraft should have arrived in Oksibil at around 2:20 p.m., but its whereabouts are still unknown. The names of the passengers on the ill-fated Pilatus plane are Sudir Jakana, Martina Ormabin, Hedrikus Kamiu, Lydia Kamiu, Jamaluddin, Nemus, and Jumaidi. Women's soccer will be the first event to be held in Palembang, South Sumatra as co-host of the 18 Asian Games scheduled from August 18 to September 2nd. According to Antara News Agency on Saturday, the team from South Korea will meet China Taipei in the maiden match of Group A at 3 p.m. on Thursday, August 16, which will be followed by a match between Indonesia and Maldives at the same Gelora Sriwijaya Stadium at 6:30 p.m. In the Group C elimination round at Bumi Sriwijaya Stadium, Thailand will play against Japan at 6:30 p.m. Women's soccer venue manager Moga Sabidna Septijaldi said the committee has made thorough preparations for their maiden matches. She said women's soccer would be one of the favorites. The public response is predicted to be strong with large number of spectators. Palembang will host 14 sports events in the 18 Asian Games, which will be centered at Jakabaring Sports City Complex. Only soccer will be held outside JSC, which is Bumi Sriwijaya Stadium. 11 countries will participate in women's soccer, including Indonesia, South Korea, Taiwan, and Maldives in Group A, North Korea, China, Hong Kong, and Tajikistan in Group B, and Japan, Vietnam, and Taiwan in Group C. Indonesia and Malaysia signed a Memorandum of Agreement, MOA, to develop automotive industries in both countries. President of the Indonesian Automotive Institute, Imade Dana Tangkas said that the two countries wanted to redirect it toward the development of ASEAN cars. Some 40% of the components of the ASEAN cars would be sourced from ASEAN member countries. Made elaborated on Friday that regarding the plan, he noted that Indonesian and Malaysian industries had established a joint venture to develop the automotive component industry to meet the demand in both countries. The joint venture will also improve research and development to create automotive products that are in demand in the Asian market. Made remarked that three Indonesian components firms are ready to establish joint ventures with Malaysian industries. Meanwhile, according to Chief Executive Officer of the Malaysia Automotive Institute, Madani Sahari, both countries have the potential in the component industry. If the two sides collaborate, they could meet 90% of the automotive component demand in the ASEAN. Well, listener, that was the news.
Indonesia in economy, international politics, sports, environment, and Pancasila, only on Indonesiaku, My Indonesia.
Listeners, meet again with me Putri in My Indonesia program entitled Vice President and Inas Gok are grateful for an additional $6 million. Stay with us. Listener, Vice President Yusuf Kalla witnessed the signing of the cooperation agreement between Inas Gok and private sector Qatar Airways in order to succeed the 2018 Asian Games. According to Radio Republic of Indonesia, RRI Monitoring, in the signing and handover of the funds, it was symbolically given to the chairman of Indonesian Asian Games 2018 Organizing Committee, Erick Thohir, and Indonesian Vice President Yusuf Kalla, or JK. Qatar Airways provides support funds of $6 million to succeed the Asian Games. Qatar Ambassador to Indonesia, Ahmed bin Yasim Al-Hammer, at the office of the Vice President, Jakarta, Thursday, August 8, said, "The signing of the cooperation, the Asian Games, was G2G or government-to-government cooperation, which showed the good relations between the governments of two countries." Vice President Yusuf Kalla, who is also the chair of the Asian Games Steering Committee, said that the cooperation is expected to be a step to well-established Indonesia's relations with Qatar. The Vice President acknowledged 9 days ahead of the 2018 Asian Games, various supports were very important for the success of the entire series of Asian four-year multi-event. Yusuf Kalla hopes the support can help succeeding the 2018 Asian Games and vice versa, introducing Qatar Airways more broadly to Asia. Earlier, Chairman of the Asian Games Organizing Committee, or NASGOC, Erick Thohir, really appreciated the assistance of $6 million given 9 days before the 18th Asian Games. Erick said, just 9 days before the opening, there are still those who want to participate. Erick added, in addition to cash, Qatar also provided assistance in the form of a ride to transport as many as 40 horses from various countries. Horses are sent for various needs for the 2018 Asian Games. As a return, Qatar Airways will benefit from installing logos for promotions at various 2018 Asian Games venues, especially in the competition arena. They get full branding, one of them in football. The joining of Qatar Airways as a sponsor made the total funding support from sponsors for the Asian Games implementation around 850 billion rupiah. Before the cooperation with Qatar, the total sponsorship assistance was around 760 billion rupiahs. Well, that was my Indonesia for today.
Today in History, presenting you historical facts of the day.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. I'll begin with August the 12th to 1902, the birth of Muhammad Hatta. Muhammad Hatta is a freedom fighter, statesman, economist, and also Indonesia's first vice president. He and Sukarno played an important role in liberating the Indonesian people from Dutch colonialism, and they jointly proclaimed the independence on August 17, 1945. He also served as prime minister in the Hatta I, Hatta II, and RIS cabinet. He resigned as vice president in 1956 due to a dispute with President Sukarno. Hatta is also known as the father of Indonesian cooperatives. The Tangerang Banten International Airport, Soekarno-Hatta Airport, used partly his name as a tribute to his services. In addition to being immortalized in Indonesia, the name Muhammad Hatta was also found in the Netherlands as the name of the street in the residential area of Zuiderpolder, Haarlem, under the name Mohammed Hatta Straat. Over to August the 12th, 1985, Japan Airlines Flight 123 crashes. Japan Airlines Flight 123, a Boeing 747-146SR, crashed on Mount Takamagahara in Gunma Prefecture, Japan, 100 kilometers from Tokyo on August the 12th, 1985. The single plane crash was the worst in aviation history, with all 15 crew members and 505 from 500 and 9 passengers killed. There were 4 survivors, all of them passengers, although one of the survivors was a Japan Airlines flight attendant on leave. JAL 123 takes off from Haneda Airport at 6:12 a.m. local time with 12 minutes more than scheduled. 12 minutes later, when taking off, the plane entered its cruising altitude above Sagami Bay. The rear stern of the aircraft broke and produced a decompression explosion which tore the tail of the plane and damaged the entire hydraulic system of the aircraft as a whole, resulting in the aircraft then hovering uncontrollably for about 30 minutes before finally crashing into the mountain. I'll end this edition of Today in History with August the 12th, 1990. The most complete skeleton of the Tyrannosaurus rex is found in South Dakota, USA. A fossil hunter named Susan Hendrickson found three large bones in Irvine in South Dakota, United States. After being examined, the bones were part of the largest Tyrannosaurus rex skeleton. The meat-eating dinosaur bones were estimated to be 65 million years old. The T-Rex skeleton was named Sue, according to Hendrickson's nickname. The discovery team managed to collect 90% of the Sue framework. The discovery of this framework makes the team of scientists more easily examine life in ancient times. They can find out that these carnivores have an extraordinary sense of smell. This is the largest T-Rex frame ever found. The Sue framework finally became a display at the Field Museum since May 2000. That was Today in History this time from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Highlight of the week presents Issues of the Week.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with this week's spotlight, which this time is on President Jokowi's sense of the 18 Asian Games contingent. President Joko Widodo sent off the Japanese contingent for the 18th Asian Games, which will take place in Jakarta and Palembang from August the 18th until September the 2nd. The ceremony was carried out in a central courtyard of the Merdeka Palace, Jakarta on Wednesday. In his remarks, the president reminded the athletes that they are the best sons and daughters of the country and represent 263 million Indonesians. All athletes have been supported by very long training with very hard work. The president believes that with the hard work practicing in a long period of time, as many gold medals as possible will be obtained. The president stressed that Indonesia's target was clear, as stated by the coordinating minister for human development and culture, Puan Maharani. The target is to enter the top 10. The number of gold medals that must be obtained is at least 16. More will be nice, but less won't do. The head of state claimed to have witnessed several exercises that had been held, such as in pencak silat, jet ski, sailing, skateboards, and rowing. The head of state believes that the practice and other efforts in the long term will produce a good achievement. Therefore, he entrusted the pride of this country to all athletes who will compete. Previously, the Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Puan Maharani, in her report said that Indonesia's contingent to compete in the 18th Asian Games in 2018 totaled 1,383 people. According to Puan Maharani, the 18th Asian Games will open on August the 18th, but starting on August the 10th, the football preliminary round has begun. Indonesia will compete on the 12th against China Taipei at the Patriot Chandraga Stadium in Bekasi. Puan asserted the Indonesian team's target is to get the top 10 that can be achieved by at least to be able to win 16 to 17 gold medals. Puan Maharani asserted the Indonesian team was ready to inflame the spirit of fighting for the highest achievement for the revival of the Indonesia Raya National Anthem and the red and white flag. The ceremony to send off the Indonesian contingent to the 18 Asian Games was also attended by Minister of Youth and Sports, Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, and Inas Gok Chair. That was this week's Spotlight. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Here is news in brief. I'm Dalat Pane. Chairman of the Indonesian Doctors Association Executive Board, Professor Dr. Ilham Utama Marsis, sat on Sunday at the Army Center Hospital Gatot Subroto. The prospective candidates for President and Vice President of the Republic of Indonesia, who have registered with the General Election Commission, underwent health examinations. Political observer Yandi Hermawandi of the Majid Political Research Institution has predicted that the 2019 presidential election will take place more peacefully than the one in 2014. The United States government is keen to work with Indonesia to fully resolve the trade dispute between the two countries, which had been arbitrated by the World Trade Organization since 2014. U.S. Ambassador to Indonesia Joseph Donovan said on Friday, U.S. recognized that Indonesia has mandated certain regulation and is taking positive steps for the solution of the dispute. Bank Indonesia said it is confident it would be able to keep the country's current account deficit below 3% by the end of this year. Executive Director of Statistics Department of the Central Bank, Yati Kurniati, told reporters on Friday that by the end of the first half of the year, the current account deficit already reached 2.6% of the country's gross domestic product. Indonesia under-16 national team successfully wins the U16 AFF Cup after going through a 5-2-4 final contest facing Thailand at Gelora Delta Sidoarjo Stadium, East Java, on Saturday night. Women's soccer will be the first event to be held in Palembang, South Sumatra, as co-host of the 18 Asian Games scheduled from August 18 to September 2. Indonesia and Malaysia signed a Memorandum of Agreement, MOA, to develop automotive industries in both countries. President of the Indonesian Automotive Institute, Imade Dana Tangka, said that the two countries wanted to redirect it toward the development of ASEAN cars. Well, listener, that was News in Brief.
Kuatkan hatimu, berikan energi di dalam semangatmu. Tegaklah berdiri, terbanglah kau tinggi. Inilah saatnya namamu bergema, maknai kekalahan sebagai
broadcasting daily from Jakarta on frequency of 95.5 kHz. You can also listen to audio streaming www.voi.co.id. Listener, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder featuring Indonesian tourism. Today, I will introduce Manakara Beach in Mamuju, South Sulawesi Province. So stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Apart from shortwaves, you can also listen to this program through www.voinews.id. Mamuju is a small town located in South Sulawesi. The location is very strategic because it is on South Sulawesi, Central Sulawesi, East Sulawesi triangle area. Mamuju has the longest coastline in South Sulawesi, which is around 415 kilometers. It has a very attractive beach with amazing blue sea called Manakara Beach. Manakara Beach is a special beach that has an amazing view. The hallmark of Manakara Beach is in the cypress and black sand that extend up to 5 kilometers. It is part of Mamuju Bay where Batu Harbour is located, which is one of the transportation centers in Mamuju City. Manakara Beach is a tourist destination visited not only by domestic tourists but also foreign ones. On this beach, you can unwind yourself while looking at the beauty of the black sandy beach. While sitting there, you can look at the beach that is sparkling due to the sun and also the fishing boats that come and go. If you want to stay overnight, you can find modest accommodations such as hotels or inns that are widely available in Mamuju City. From Manakara Beach to Mamuju City Center takes about 30 minutes, but if you don't want to be late in enjoying the amazing sunrise, you can spend the night setting up a tent on this beach. Even at night, Manakara Beach also presents beautiful scenery, because this beach will be filled with red lights from the ferry boats that will dock or depart from Mamuju Harbor. If you want to bring souvenirs to take home, you don't need to bother going to another place because in this coastal area, there are also many souvenir shops and stalls that sell a variety of food and beverages too, which is typical of Sulawesi or South Sulawesi. You can also buy some special sweet oranges from Mamuju. To get to Manakara Beach is not difficult. You can use public transportation or rental vehicles. You can start the journey from Tampa Padang Airport, Mamuju, West Sulawesi, directly to Manakara Beach. This trip only takes about 30 minutes. At Manakara Beach, you can enjoy a variety of light snacks such as fried bananas, sweet potatoes, peanuts, and various other types of fried foods. Besides, you can also try more substantial menus such as fried rice, soto, grilled fish, which are of course typical of Mamuju. If you come in August and September, then you can enjoy the famous durian fruit usually harvested in those months. Mamuju durian is quite famous because it tastes good and the meat is thick while price is cheap and compared to other parts in Indonesia. That was Indonesian Wonder today. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Thank you for still being with us in Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line to Voice of Indonesia or to our email address english@voi.co.id or to voi.english@gmail.com. Listener, now let's listen to Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia. segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Ms. Seleni, a regular segment presenting various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, tourism, even lifestyle. This edition presents the topic of Borneo Cultural Enchantment Festival 2. Stay tuned in to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia at www.voinews.id. Borneo Cultural Charm Festival is being held again from August 11 until 15. This year, the festival is held in Banjarmasin, the capital city of South Kalimantan, after last year it was held at Taman Mini Indonesia Indah in Jakarta. This activity is centered in the former South Kalimantan Governor's Office at Jalan Jenderal Sudirman in Banjarmasin. It is filled with Dayak cultural performances. Dayak, meanwhile, is the indigenous people of Kalimantan, that featured various arts such as traditional dances and creations, talawang or sheet paintings and sculpting, blowpipe competition, regional culinary, exhibits of superior products, Dayak charm photo competition, and other South Kalimantan tradition. The event was also marked by a cultural carnival involving participants from Kalimantan as well as involving the local community such as old bicycle lovers or ontel mania. This carnival will be attended by participants from Kalimantan and neighboring Malaysia. For your information, Kalimantan is the name used in Indonesia to call Borneo. Chairperson of the Borneo Cultural Enchantment Festival 2, Raymond, said this activity is targeted to be attended by hundreds of participants from provinces throughout Kalimantan as well as from neighboring countries. According to Raymond, as the host, South Kalimantan had prepared to welcome guests and contingents from other provinces in order to provide the best in the implementation of this national-scale activity. Head of South Kalimantan Tourism Office, Heriansa, said the Borneo Culture Enchantment Festival 2 is expected to increase foreign and domestic tourists in the 2020 tourist visit program. According to him, the festival would be attended by a number of ministers of Indonesian Working Cabinet and 12 ambassadors of friendly countries. This activity is also attended by Dayak communities in Sarawak, Malaysia, and Brunei Darussalam. Meanwhile, chairperson of the South Kalimantan Dayak Customary Council, Divriadi Darjat, said the theme carried out for 2018 is "With Our Culture and Tourism Moving to Build Kalimantan to Be More Prosperous." According to him, this festival is presenting the wealth, local wisdom of the people of Kalimantan, both in the form of cultural arts and mix of blended culture imbued with the spirit of Bhinneka Tunggal Ika, or unity in diversity. Divriadi added that this activity was a means of promotion and publication of art and culture of the people of Kalimantan. That was Ms. Seleni over Voice of Indonesia. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we will also play some Indonesian music. Well, we would like to thank our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now, let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Siddhartha Bhattacharji in India. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through the frequencies of 3325 kHz at 1800 hours to 1830 hours UTC on July 4, 2018 with CO444. Hello, Mr. Siddhartha Bhattacharji. Thanks for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We forwarded your email to the German section. Please be patient to wait for the reply of your email from the German section. But we are trying to answer your one question. 3325 kHz is our temporary frequency, while our old 9525 kHz is being repaired. This frequency is transmitted from RRI Palangkaraya in Central Kalimantan. So, we hope you are satisfied with our answer. Well, Mr. Siddhartha, please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. And special for you, here's a song.
Seandainya dapat ku melukiskan isi hatiku untukmu. Seandainya kau pun harus tahu lelah hatiku bila kau jauh. Namun ku jalani yang kau pilih. Jangan risaukan aku. Percayalah kasih, cinta tak harus memiliki. Walau kau dengannya, namun ku yakin hatimu untukku. Percayalah cinta tak harus memiliki. Walau kau coba lupakan aku, tapi ku kan selalu ada untukmu. Percayalah
listener, now we will reply an email from Iwao Nagatani in Japan. He was listening to our broadcast in Japanese program through the frequencies 3325 kHz on June 16, 2018 at 1900 hours up to until 1935 hours UTC. In his email, Mr. Iwao Nagatani told that it is great pleasure that he has heard our radio station. Yes, you're right, we are temporarily using the 3325 kHz because our 9525 is under repair. But we are really glad because you can listen our radio clearly. It can be seen from your detailed reception report. Mr. Iwao Nagatani, your reception report has been forwarded to the Japanese section. Please be patient to wait for the reply. Thank you very much, and so please keep listening to our broadcast and keep sending your report. Okay, listener, let's listen to another song.
Sampai di
You're still listening to Listener's Mailbag, broadcast every Sunday. Now we continue to reply an email from Deba Kamal Hazarika in India. He was listening to our broadcast in English on July 10, 2018 at 13:36 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika. Thank you very much for your reception report and compliment on our broadcast. As we keep on saying, our broadcast now can be monitored through the 3325 kHz. Well, Mr. Deba Kamal Hazarika, hopefully our information can be useful for you. So please keep listening, and for you, we will play a very beautiful song. Listener, before we end today's listener's mailbag, we want to reply an email from the lovely Dieter Lupold in Germany. In his email, he told us that he tried to listen our broadcast in German program through the 3325 kHz. However, the transmission was not receivable. Hello, Mr. Dieter Lupold. If you listen to us, thank you very much for your attention on our broadcast. We would like to deeply apologize for your inconvenience. We will deliver your complaint to our technical division as usual, and hopefully we will be back again with the 9525 kHz. And listener, wherever you are, we inform you that we have a new program on RRINet. This program is broadcast from Monday to Friday at 2100 hours to 2200 hours West Indonesian Standard Time, or 1400 hours up to until 1500 hours UTC. These programs enables you not only listen but also watch our program, just like watching TV. And if you want to access it, please download our application RRI Play, available for Android users. After download it, open the RRI Play, and then you choose RRINet, and then you can choose the quality of the video, and maybe we will recommend 240 or 360 pixels. Before we sign out, listeners, let's say hello to Ahli Benchorha, Ram Kumar Niraj, Rakesh Rao, and Hamza Bilakal. They are, and many others, are regular listeners who always listen to our radio. Well, listener, actually, we still have so many emails, but unfortunately, we have to sign out. Thank you very much for listening, The Voice of Indonesia, and do not forget to visit our Facebook fan page. We also appreciate your sufficient reports on our broadcast. If you want to send letter, please write to Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Bina Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat 4N5 Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. Or you can also send it to our email, voi@voinews.id, voi@voinews.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia, and follow our Twitter at @voiindonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, as usual, we will play another song from Indonesia. I'm Steve signing out. Thank you very much for listening and see you next time.
Thank you for listening to English program from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Stay tuned on 9525 kHz. You can also tune at voinews.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, RRI Building, 4th floor, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4N5, Jakarta. PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110 Indonesia. You can also join us on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter at VOI Indonesia. Our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Informing, connecting, dignifying.